Hallelujah. We thank God so much for His grace that has enabled us to meet tonight. As we go into the teaching of the Word tonight, let's commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly, O God Almighty, are hungry and thirsty after You, O God. As we have sung, the grace You give, O God, is what we need, O God, to make it through every day and through every season of our lives. And You assured us that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall surely be filled. So even tonight, as each and every one of us listen to Your word, O God, we pray that our hearts shall be good ground upon it which it shall be sown to bear forth good fruit that shall both increase and remain to the glory of Your name. We commit, O God Almighty, our lives into Your hands and our time tonight together, and to Your Holy Spirit's being in charge of, O God. We pray that Satan shall not steal, kill, or destroy any of us, O Lord, in any way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of our message tonight is Our Imitation of Jesus Christ. I encourage us as students to move with our textbooks, which are our Bibles, either in hard copy or soft copy, and our notebooks, even both in hard copy and soft copy. But it really helps us when we are critically studious, like the Bereans were, especially being that the congregation I know we have on Wednesday are those that really have a good interest in the word of God and shall be enriched and blessed by it. Hallelujah. In continuance with our studies of Paul's letter to the Corinthians tonight, having answered the cases that had been put to him, those practical issues that had been put to him, as we considered last month, the principles of marriage and the issues of liberty in the church, the Apostle Paul proceeds in this section to the redress of grievances, which took on a way of having order in the fellowship meetings that they had with regards to their dressing, their etiquette, that is their written down rules of mannerisms, as well as their exercise of spiritual gifts. And in response to feedback that I got, I will henceforth teach expository rather than thematically. All right? So we have to be ready to expounding of scriptures, yeah? And follow clearly. And if you have any questions, be ready to ask them so that we will have a good grasp of the scripture. Amen? We are going to stop considering branches, yeah? We are going to go to the leaves level as the Lord leads us and be blessed by the Holy Spirit. The first verse of this chapter, chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, is put by those who divided the epistle into chapters as the preface to the rest of the epistle. But it seems to have been a more proper close to the last chapter, chapter 10, which we saw last month, in which the Apostle Paul had enforced the cautions that he had given against the abuse of liberty by his own example. That verse in Amplified reads, "Pattern yourselves after me. Follow my example as I imitate and follow Christ the Messiah." NKJV says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." And it fitly closes his argument, which we saw last time. Because if you notice, the verse that follows, verse 2 and even onwards 3, even to the whole section of up to verse 16, it looks like there's another topic that he's addressing altogether. But whether it more properly belongs to this chapter 11 or to the last chapter, it is plain from it that Paul not only preached such a doctrine as that those that he preached to ought to believe. But he also led a life that they ought to imitate, to follow after. As he says, be imitators of me, meaning that you should live as you see me live. Amen? Ministers are likely to preach most to the purpose when they can press their hearers to follow their example. And since even then, we see Paul was not telling these Corinthians and even us to just follow him for the sake of following him, but to follow him as he also follows Jesus Christ. And therefore, he was not telling them to blindly follow him, to simply have what they call implicit faith or obedience. That is, faith or obedience that has no cautions. Because the way he was setting the pattern, the example, some of us when we were in school, we used to have carbon copy paper by which we used to cheat the drawing of maps. You remember those geography maps, eh? But if you had your carbon copy paper and drew the map, the teacher wouldn't say, this map is not right, or that you used carbon copy. All he needed was the map of Africa looking like the map of Africa, not the face of a man. So, Paul was implying that he would have to be followed to the level that he himself was endeavoring to follow Jesus Christ. Because the pattern or the standard that Christ had set for all of us, his followers, was such as no other pattern should be followed thereafter. Not so? So, when we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, we see Paul still telling the Ephesians, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I think you see the same underlying principle, that be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself as an offering, making us also have to give ourselves as offerings to God as sweet-smelling aromas. Note, take a note here, that we should not follow a leader unless they follow Jesus Christ. Isn't that the implication? The so-called apostles of the day we have these days, the word apostle literally means sent of God. So whether they are prophets or preachers or teachers, the so-called apostles of the day that we have should be run away from by us if they are not following after the example of Christ. Not so? The moment the man of God that you sit under or follow after is not following after Christ according to the scriptures, you should find the exit. Usually there are more than one, but here at Calvary Chapel we only have one. The windows, eh? The windows get you to death or heaven. Someone is quoted to have said that your life speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say. Imagine. Your life speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say. And the same notion has it that the single greatest tool of leadership is the power of an exemplary life. Thomas Fuller was a Puritan writer. He said that teaching is like putting nails in the wood during carpentry, yeah? Teaching is like putting nails in the wood, but example is like hammering them deep. You get that picture? Ever since I read of it, it has given me a deep impression of what teaching must be. that teaching without example makes no furniture available. Because if you put the nails in the wood and you don't hammer them deep, where is someone going to take the chair or whatever it is that you are making? You get it? If you remember, or you probably don't remember, but consider that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 to 17, Paul had told these guys, that the Corinthians, Paul had told the Corinthians that, "I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in the church." That's what he had told them earlier on when he was trying to build rapport with them, because the letter he was writing to them, they needed enough warning and enough admonition, as we have been seeing all along. He endeared them as children, showed them that it's through the gospel that I begot you as my children. And therefore, I urge you, imitate me in Jesus Christ. So he was, even now, earlier on in the letter, bearing it upon them that the authority with which he was addressing them was that of a father to a child. Not so, a parent to a child. You could say a father to a daughter or a father to a son. And we know with children that they easily learn from their parents. Not so? Not only do they have their DNA, but also their mannerisms will be picked up because of their observing their parents. Not so? And that's what he was telling them. The DNA that you're having of the gospel that is supposed to get you obeying God, still you have to have example of by the way you see me live. Praise God. And in reference here to Timothy, I saw that in exhorting Timothy to effective ministry, Paul had said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 to 16, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 to 16, that these things command and teach. And let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, says KJV, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Alright? So we see where from chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, verse 14 to 17, he's commending them to watch Timothy, whom he had discipled and was assured that Timothy was such a man as was a faithful steward of what had been entrusted him and was obeying Paul and the teachings Paul had given him, because he had kept on telling Timothy, like we have read here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Looking at this text in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we have it then that if Timothy were to give a bad example in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, isn't in most texts, in faith, and in purity, to those that hear him, if Timothy was to give a bad example in those areas to those that hear him, he would be destroying both himself and those that were what? Listening. Meaning that Timothy had to be a model in speech, in lifestyle, in sacrificial love, in faithfulness, and in moral purity. Whereby if Timothy was going around sharing the apostles' doctrines and not living an example of a good model in speech, in lifestyle, in sacrificial love, in faithfulness and moral purity, what he would be sharing would easily be watered down to his own destruction and the destruction of those he was sharing the message of the gospel with. But if, however, Timothy continually meditated on the instructions Paul was giving him, which we all now have as scriptures, not so? The word of God. The same way Joshua was instructed by God in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where Joshua was told of the Lord that this book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If Timothy was to give himself continually to meditating on the word of God, his progress would be evident to all. And therefore he shall be successful in ministry, and as well as prosperous in ministry, however youthful he may have been. All right? And it amazes me, it literally, shamefully amazes me, that as a Bible teaching church with a mission to love and disciple, we are the way we are. Because even with the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, having his authority given to us in heaven and on earth to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that he has commanded us, with an assurance that he is with us always, even to the end of the age, we are the way we are. Because if by show of hands I asked how many of us have joined the missions team on Friday, even once, how many of us have joined the missions team on Friday, even once? How many of us reach out to the unsaved at least once a week? How many of us pray for the unsaved at all in a week? All right, I think we have seen ourselves, all right? And sure enough, all of us are a work in progress, not so? All of us are what? Are a work in progress. That is why our progress should be real, all right? Our progress should be real. If your progress is real, it shall be evident to all that in word or in speech, in conduct that is in lifestyle, in love that is sacrificial love, in spirit or in faithfulness, and in moral purity, we are becoming more like Jesus Christ by the patterns that we are observing in the scriptures, right? The patterns, like we keep on hearing, like the sermon we had in the Luganda service on Sunday about the need to be intentional at being witnesses of Jesus Christ from Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Same as the pattern Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, if we could turn there, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, where he says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and not those who also walk as you have us for a pattern." All right? It is such patterns that we are supposed to follow in our imitation, our correct imitation of followers of God. Since all of us believers are imperfect, we need examples of less imperfect people who know how to deal with imperfection. Not so? And who can model the process of pursuing the goal of Christ-likeness as the Apostle Paul was. That's the context that we have Philippians 3:17 drawn from. Looking at the context there in Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 16, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Praise God. Here Paul was modeling Christ-likeness from the human point of view, because all of us would say Christ was so perfect, yeah? We can't get to his level. But Paul is telling us, he and the other apostles, Peter, were imperfect people, not so? John and James, his brother, the sons of thunder, were imperfect preachers. When a village refused to accept Jesus, they told Jesus, just rain fire on it. As though that would take them to heaven. All these men, the apostles in the Bible that wrote these scriptures that we are reading, were imperfect men. Your pastor, even me, I'm not perfect, not so. But the challenge that we all have in seeking to imitate the apostle Paul who wrote these scriptures and to have leadership role models is that Christ is being followed diligently. All right? To attain to maturity, to attain to the same mind like, same Christ mind likeness, having the same mind as Christ had, all right? That's why we are entrustingly blessed with the Word of God to enable us, like Jesus Christ, to be wholly obedient to God. You could probably turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 onward says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you yourselves became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe." Praise God. I think you see the same pattern that Paul was exhorting believers everywhere. That the teaching of the gospel, the sharing of the scriptures, wasn't just to be in theological words that they needed to understand, but also in genuine patterns of lifestyles that they needed to follow. Then the scriptures that they would be sharing with them, they would be receiving with much assurance. All right? That's the hammering of the nails in the wood, not so? Because imperfect as I am, being a strong believer in Jesus Christ and in the Lord that I always tell people who hears and answers prayer, if I live a prayerless life, my prayers won't be answered, not so? Because I don't have any I'm making. So then how will I continue telling you that God is a prayer hearing and answering God? But if because I've seen him hear and answer prayer according to his will, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, the testimonies that we'll be having onwards as your prayer life grows will be a pattern that you'll be growing from. Not so? All right? So, if we consider Jesus Christ, for example, who said to the disciples in John chapter 4, verse 34, that my food is to do the will of him who sent me as a model. You remember that story? At the Jewish Samaritan well, Jesus had gone through Samaria, got to a Samaritan well, met a Samaritan woman, preached to them. And then as the Samaritan had gone in response to what Jesus had shared with her, the disciples asked him to have some food. And he tells them that, "I've had food that you know not of." And then they wonder amongst themselves, "Did someone bring him food?" And he tells them in John chapter 4, verse 34, that "my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Imagine that, you will not eat food until all your siblings are all born again. Not so? That is for Jesus, yeah? I heard someone say. Or you won't eat food until all the witches are driven from your village. All the shrines of the witch doctors fall in and they desert the village because the monocle is there. Imagine that you won't eat food, eh? Because that is the will of God, not so? And if it's not yet finished, why are you eating? Jesus would, not so? Because he was perfect. So, in the preceding chapter, in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 10, Paul kept laboring about eating meat sacrificed to idols. If it stumbles a brother, he says, it's not worth eating. And to take it generally, Paul was implying that he was not going to do that that would hinder the growth of other brethren's faith. All right? If you check out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 to 33. "But that therefore whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, giving no offense either to the Catholics, or to the Muslims, or to the Church of God." All right? Just as the apostle said that he sought to please all men in all things. Surely this pleasing all men in all things was within the limits of God's word, not so? And within the limits of his Christian conscience. But he says, not seeking his own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. Praise God. That's why he exhorts that we should imitate him as he imitated Christ. If we remember a general remembrance of the Gospels, how Jesus would be seen eating with the Pharisees, not so? As well as eating with the wine bibbers, the tax collectors, not so? As well as reaching out to the prostitutes, not so? Going high and going low, reaching out to everyone so that they may be saved. That the grace of the Lord may really reach out and penetrate into their hearts and change them. So, in our imitation of Christ Jesus, day in and day out, do we live as examples of Christ Jesus? Or we are always in the spirit that our neighbors know us as the Barokole who do not even greet their neighbors? I think it's in 1 Peter, where Peter was telling those that he was writing to. It says that be a pattern of a wholesome life so that the unbelievers, even if they criticize you for your faith, by the pattern of your lifestyle, they will praise God. Some of you may know where it is or can find it. It's in 1 Peter. You get that? And that's how we would be imitating Christ, because God's major business is for the salvation of souls. All right? God's major business here on earth is not to enrich the church, the body of Christ, not to make them testifiers of great and almighty things the Lord has done for them, but that as souls are saved, God's kingdom is coming on earth, all right? And as souls are saved, his will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's major business. So, if we call ourselves followers of God, and that is not our mode of operation in our daily lifestyles, considering that at our workplaces, in our families, in all our relationships, in all our walks of life, that many are being brought into the kingdom of God out of our imitation of Jesus Christ through the teaching of the Word of God, then our progress to heaven surely is of no worth. Not so? It's of no worth. All right? So, as we close tonight, I implore all of us to truly be imitators of Jesus Christ by the doctrines or the doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God that we have from His Word. Right? And to watch out for those that share with us the gospel and be discerning enough to know that maybe if they fall short of certain areas, they need to be lifted up in prayer or rebuked. But even the Bible says that you should not confront an elder. Not so? Except how? You people don't know your Bibles. Please read your Bibles. All right? I encourage us as we are starting this later to take time to read through the whole book, all right? So that we are exhorting each other even as we are sharing, because we are led by the Spirit of God to know the ways of God, all right? We are not led by men to know the ways of God. We are led by the Spirit of God to know the ways of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we continue thanking you so much and giving you praise and glory for your word, for you send it forth, for the exhortation, for the instruction, for the rebuking, the chastening of our lives, that the man of God may be fully furnished for every good work, O God. We pray for the courage and the strength we need, O God, to hearken unto your word, even as it has come to us tonight, Lord, to be the right model in speech, forsaking lying, malice, gossip, slander, bitterness, wrath, clamor, contention, and all the works of the flesh, Lord. Being pure in our morals, truly loving each other as Christ has loved us, forgiving one another even as Christ has forgiven us, loving you with all our hearts, with all our strength and souls, and loving our brothers and sisters as we ought to love by your example. We worship you, O Holy Spirit, and appreciate you so much, Lord, for your presence in our midst tonight. Search out in our lives in any area, O God, that we are deficient of following after the example that we should follow. Of all these things that we are reading in 1 Corinthians, in Colossians on Sunday, O God, may they not be a waste, Lord, because we are going to be accountable to each and every one of them. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.